Packers fans, welcome to the Green 19 podcast. The Green Bay Packers are one preseason game under their belt at this point, 23-10 victory over the Cleveland Browns. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm joined by Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. He was in Cleveland. It's very lovely this time of year, Tom. Did you what sights did you see in Cleveland?
It was a beautiful day. Lake Erie was magnificent.
Yes.
It really was a nice day. It was mid-70s. You know, you're right on the lake. It wasn't very crowded, you know, like maybe a third of the stadium was there. It was full. It was a nice,
nice,
pleasant afternoon, much less stressful than a regular season.
Are you a rock and roll guy? I don't even know. Would you go
to I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame several times. It's awesome.
I've never been. It is on my list for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to go for sure.
Absolutely.
They're expanding it too.
So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of construction right next to it. So I assume that's rock and roll.
I mean, at some point, they're going to need more room for more rock and rollers. So that makes perfect sense to me. The Green Bay Packers roster is loaded right now with some pretty metal dudes. That's a terrible segue, but they are looking very good. This preseason game was no exception. And so you were obviously there and wanted to get your takeaways from it. I guess we didn't see much of Jordan Love. We saw him throw two passes. They were both complete. And one of them went for 65 yards and a touchdown to Dontayvion Wicks. So we'll start, I guess, chronologically with the play that, that immediately had Packers fans loving this preseason experience. Dontayvion Wicks was on the field for one snap, I believe, one snap and one snap only, and that was the 65-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder why play a guy at all if you're going to just get one snap out of him, even if it is a home run play. But that certainly set the tone, and the receivers in general, which we've talked about, because Wicks went off, and then Grant DuBose is a guy that you've talked about. You've said you really like him. He had a tremendous game. And Bo Melton had a rough game, but like, now, I mean, one game isn't going to necessarily get Bo Melton, you know, on the roster bubble. So the depth of these receivers, it is really looking like we think it is. And especially if Grant DuBose is going to turn out to be something, this team is just completely stacked at that position. Yeah. I'd be curious now what you think of Grant DuBose's chances of making this roster, and just the little bit you saw, you know, you see a home run play. It's obviously a good sign for the Packers.
Yeah. DuBose helped himself a lot. I mean, he's been just consistent, and he's continually made plays in camp, and now he's turning it into plays in games. And that's the way you make a team. You just keep doing it. And pretty soon they say, you know, well, we can't get rid of this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's putting himself in that position. It seems to me like it's a three-man race between Heath, Melton, and DuBose for two spots. But they could keep seven. It's not unheard of to do that, especially since Malik Heath plays a lot of special teams and is a really good special teams player. They might be willing to use him in that regard. So I count him towards special teams. So they could keep seven receivers. DuBose is going to be a hard one. That's going to be a tough one for them to cut. And then, yeah, Bo Melton has to shake that off. Luckily for him, he has a body of work last year that was very good. And so that's, you know, still there. It doesn't get erased by one game.
Right. How about also the running backs, if we're staying with skill positions?
Yeah.
Great game for Emmanuel Wilson.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I think Emmanuel Wilson is in line for the backup running back position. I think he's going to eventually move ahead of A.J. Dillon. I think he's just got too much juice in him. You know, you can see some of those runs, even when there wasn't something there, he just turned on, you know, found a little crease and then turned it on. And he is really fast and he's physical. He's 220 pounds. So, you know, the unfortunate part for the Packers is that Marshawn Lloyd pulled a hamstring, and he was looking, you know, actually bounced a run where there was nothing there and took it outside. And that's when he hurt his hamstring. But I think those two guys were really putting a squeeze on Dillon, and if you have two guys who are 220 and can run in the 4.4s, that's pretty impressive to go with a guy like Josh Jacobs. So, you know, we'll have to see where Lloyd's injury is. I gotta think it's going to keep him out for a little while. Those hamstrings are, especially since it was something that was bothering him coming into the game.
Yeah, we made the comment about how lucky they'd been with injuries on the last podcast. Immediately following that, you had Christian Watson going down in practice, although obviously he it looked like he's okay. Jordan Love having a little thing in practice, and of course he looks like he's okay. But then Marshawn Lloyd is the big one, is the first, I would say, key contributor or potential key contributor that has gone down. I still think if that's what you have at this point in the season, you have still been lucky, one preseason game in.
If that's all you've lost is one guy for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Man, they've had a tremendous camp from a health standpoint.
Yes, we will knock on wood and do all the requisite superstitious things to, I suppose, keep that from not being the storyline anymore. Going back to AJ Dillon, you know, we've obviously spent a lot of time talking about him. He's a huge fan favorite in Green Bay, and he came back on a very small deal, really, because he was pretty dedicated to being here after it wasn't clear that he had a role with this team going forward. Josh Jacobs, of course, will be the starter, and then with Lloyd out, I know there's room for AJ Dillon on this roster, but especially if Wilson sort of rises up, you know, what do you imagine for, he had four carries in this game for just 2 yards. What do you imagine for AJ Dillon right now? I mean, is he like on track to being third string at best? Is he on track to making the roster? Maybe not at all. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for him.
I don't know either. I sort of feel like he, you know, he's in sort of a nowhere land. He has to do something, I think, in one of these games to show them that, you know, even remaking his body has made a difference. And, you know, he had a couple of rough runs. You know, the last one, I'm not sure was his fault, because there were about 11 guys at the line of scrimmage on 4th and 1. But you'd like to see him power through one of those, you know, the big, powerful guy. He, you know, 250-pound guy who should be able to run through, you know, an average linebacker. So, you know, I have some question marks about whether he's anywhere near the ability of Emmanuel Wilson, just because Emmanuel Wilson has some breakaway ability, and you can just see he's carrying guys with him as he's pounding his feet, and he's a big man. You know, one thing I thought about in my long drive back, you know, that I had a lot of things to think about, was that, you know, what they could do when it comes time is they could cut AJ Dillon, keep Marshawn Lloyd on the roster, assuming nobody picks up AJ Dillon, then they could put Lloyd, you know, the day after, they could put Lloyd on IR and then bring Dillon back. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, depending on how bad Marshawn Lloyd's hamstring injury is. But right now, you know, to me, Emmanuel Wilson has proven to be, you know, the number two. Now, blocking and stuff, you know, maybe Dillon's ahead of Wilson from that standpoint. I'd be curious to hear what some of the coaches say about that.
Yeah, Emmanuel Wilson, 13 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown in this game. If you're looking for somebody to cheer for, Jarvion Howard, 8 carries, 44 yards, among players that maybe Packers fans hadn't heard of before. He made a little name for himself, had one really good drive in particular. How about the backup quarterback competition? We saw a lot of Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, and both of them, I think, acquitted themselves pretty nicely. Sean Clifford, 10 of 19 for 111 yards. Michael Pratt, 5 of 7 for 46 yards. You know, we didn't really see either one run very much. They had a couple attempts, but nothing to write home about. Anything, do you have any sense of maybe who has the edge there after this first game? It really feels like that's also a toss-up.
Yeah, so, you know, Clifford played about what I've seen of him in training camp, you know, just kind of controlled, not many big plays, you know, ran the offense, ran the 2-minute, pretty solid, didn't throw any interceptions, which was big because he had been doing that quite a bit in camp. And so did kind of what everybody knew Sean Clifford had been doing. Pratt, I thought, played above where he had been in camp. I thought he, you know, he hit a couple, threw a couple of nice passes, should have had a touchdown to Bo Melton on that slant.
Yeah,
really well-thrown ball. He had a couple of really well-thrown balls. Then he's out there. You said they didn't run much. Well, Pratt was out there that on that, was it Manuel Wilson's run on the outside?
Oh, during the block. What a clip, somebody. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he looked like Brett Favre in the old mm-hmm. days. And I'm sure they lectured him on that. But
it's not what you want to do per se, but.
Maybe he's a gamer. You know, Clifford was kind of that way when he got into the games. He was last year. He you know, outperformed his practice. And Pratt looks like he has a little bit of an arm. And, you know, he didn't look overmatched. He's playing against threes. A bunch of guys who probably won't be in the league, but that's the nature of preseason football, you know, when you're a third string quarterback.
Yes, perhaps you draw the ire of your coaches when you throw a lead block, but you win the fans. You do win over
that's
the fans.
For sure.
How about defensively? We saw Evan Williams lead the team in tackling. He's been one of the like standouts necessarily among the rookie class in camp, but I don't. I mean, he certainly looks like an NFL safety in camp, and then he had a nice game to boot. I mean, this safety room again, like between him and Javon Bullard, and certainly Xavier McKinney, like it just feels like one of the most really the part of this team that's going to take the biggest leap forward. And Evan Williams is going to be a big part of it. I feel like they maybe got a little bit of a draft bargain with him at this point.
Yeah, you know, the one thing you can't deny is someone who's around the ball all the time. And Evan Williams is around the ball. So you can, you know, knock a guy for maybe not being in the right place at the right time but if he's constantly around the ball and he's making plays on the ball, that's a guy you got to put on the field. And so he's got four interceptions in training camp. Mm-hmm. And then he goes in and he causes a fumble on, you know, the first drive of the second half after they tell the players, let's get a turnover to start the second half. I mean, that was kind of the message in the locker room. So he goes out and really said he didn't even really try to punch it out, just put a good hit on the guy. Plus he had that tackle in the open field where his helmet went flying off. And, you know, if he doesn't hold on for dear life, that guy goes around the corner and maybe scores. And he held on to him. You know, how many safeties have we seen, you know, with the Packers make a play like that and whoops, goes right through their arms, you know? He's forcing his way onto the field. And Bullard was solid, too. Bullard, both those guys are going to be on the field a lot this year, I think.
I feel like we don't talk much about Lucas Van Ness. And for a first-round pick in, you know, last year's vaunted draft class, I think we just forget about him because that class is so deep and so great. But he had a really solid rookie year, too. And then this first game comes out, he gets a sack, three tackles for loss, hits the quarterback a couple times. You kind of forget, like, oh, yeah, he's up there, too, in that, you know, pretty deep defensive front. What have you seen from him in camp? We haven't really mentioned his name. I mean, is he poised to take a step forward and, you know, go from being a really solid rookie to being just an all-around, you know, solid contributor this season?
Yeah, he's ready to make that jump. I think what you saw was when he was on the field, he was a number one and everybody else was a number two that he was playing against.
Sure.
I mean, he's a true number one now. He's a first teamer. He may not be a starter for the Packers, but he's reaching that level of starter capability. And so, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of him. He's, you know, he's big, he's tall, he's gotten a lot stronger. I think he'll just get better. And the interesting thing will be, how are they going to use him? You know, are they going to put him with his hand down inside on passing downs? You know, let him, Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith, you know, get after the quarterback. I thought he played really well. And, you know, he benefited on one from Devontae Wyatt, who had a couple of really nice rushes. Now, he was playing against a rookie free agent. guy who, and then the next day the Browns go and get an offense, interior offensive lineman to trade for one. So that was a little bit of a statement there. Mm-hmm. But I thought Van Ness was all over the field. He had a couple of tackles for loss in the run game. I think that was more impressive than even a sack.
Yeah, speaking of first rounders that we don't often talk about, Devontae Wyatt, I feel like, you know, it's getting to a point where you want to see him take a leap. And yes, it wasn't elite competition, but he had a good game too. He was a solid contributor on the.
I think what you take away from that game, and remember, the Browns did not play their starters, hardly any at all.
Right.
And I think what you take away is that the Packers' depth is good. Usually when you win a game, if you win your preseason games pretty handily, it usually means your depth is good. And I thought, you know, their depth was better than Cleveland's depth. So now we'll see where they stand with Denver. And then at the end, it'll be a good matchup with Baltimore. See, because Baltimore's a Super Bowl type team. And we'll see how their depth matches up with them.
Yeah, no shame having good depth in the NFL. That's maybe not the compliment in other sports like the NBA or Major League Baseball, but you're going to need those guys. You're going to need the second and third string guys, obviously.
Yeah, and it means when you have good depth, it means your special teams are probably pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it means for injuries, you know, you're set. And it also means that there's constantly competition going on behind the scenes, and that's usually pretty good for a team.
PackersNews.com, we wrote about offensive line depth, speaking of the concept, specifically at tackle. I think we weren't sure if Rasheed Walker or maybe Jordan Morgan or like exactly what they would do. Now we have a pretty clear picture what they're going to do as starters. But is that if there is an area of concern, is that it? That maybe they don't have a lot of guys who can play those spots? There's still a lot of unknowns like Caleb Jones, not really sure what they have with him.
Yeah.
What do you think about that spot?
Yeah, I think tackle is worrisome. I think they really need Andre Dillard to figure out how to play right tackle. I think he's okay when he plays left tackle. It's a position he's more familiar with, but he seems to have trouble when he flips over to right tackle. I didn't get a chance to watch him real closely, so I'm not, you know, from a down-to-down basis, I'm not sure, but I know I saw Caleb Jones have some issues. I think right tackle's hard for him, too. I don't think he's a natural at right tackle. But I also saw him struggle on a left tackle. He gave up a pressure. I think that's something where they're going to have to be on the lookout for, you know, some sort of guy who could help them in a pinch. Now, whoever you get, it's not going to be a starting caliber guy. You just hope it's an Andre Dillard who type guy who maybe has started to at least show some consistency, which is what they need from Dillard. Like if Dillard could be consistent, I think they'd feel a lot better about their tackle position. You know, I don't think they want to move Jordan Morgan to tackle, but they might have to. They might have to start working him there if they're not happy with what they're getting out of their tackles, because he can play tackle. That's what he did in college. And it might just be one of those things where maybe he has to start working there and just be an emergency guy. Yeah, because you don't want to have to move Elton Jenkins again to tackle. I mean, that's your fail safe, you know, like all things equal. If Rasheed Walker goes down, then Elton Jenkins is moving to left tackle. Mm-hmm. And then you figure out what to do on the interior. Their interior seems pretty strong. I mean, Sean Ryan is doing fine, I think. You know, Morgan, when he comes back, was doing well enough. Myers has held his own. I think Jacob Monk has come on. I kind of focused on him for a little while during the game, and he is really quick. And I thought he played really decisively, you know, went out and shot out towards his guys. He was aware. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on moving forward. It's just he doesn't play in a position of need right now. And so, you know, they can let him develop, but that's a guy who kind of stood out for me.
And these draft classes are so huge. I saw Glover at practice and I was like, oh, that must be an undrafted guy. And I'd completely forgotten they drafted, you know, Travis
right,
Glover.
Like, right. I thought that too. I did too. I was like, oh yeah, he's an undrafted. And then I had to go back and I was like, oh yeah, he was drafted. Yeah. That's funny.
So many.
11 guys. It's hard to remember all of them. I don't think I could list all 11 of them right now if you tested me.
Right. Especially coming off. I won't. Maybe you can mention all 11 of the guys last year because they're 12, whatever it was, because that class all showed out pretty well. Anders Carlson is among them, and he was in a matchup with Greg Joseph. Both of them perfect on this particular day. It feels like maybe just the vibes would tell me that they're kind of basically tied, and so that would then be in favor of Anders Carlson at this point. I'd be curious if you have any updated thoughts on that. And honestly, I'm curious to know what you think of the new kickoff. What if you even like it as a concept, and if you think the Packers can make use of it?
Yeah, it was boring.
It's boring.
Totally boring. Now maybe it'll be better when they actually have some strategies involved. You know, sure. Someone will figure out some trick to it and then people build off of that. But it just seems like, you know, it seems like the kick returner doesn't have enough time to get it going. And it's almost like he's running into a brick wall. As long as those guys don't lose their lanes, mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, he might get to the 30. But I haven't seen anything close to anybody breaking one in the NFL that I know of. I don't get to see all the games. So, but yeah, that was kind of boring. The kicker thing, you know, I still feel like, and it's just an eye test, but I still feel like Joseph has an edge just because he's been so solid and consistent, and his kicks, you know, have some power to them. Carlson, sometimes they look really good and then sometimes they don't look that good. He looks a little bit out of sorts sometimes to me, like he's kicking it differently. We know that, but I don't know. I just get the feel like Joseph is got a confidence to him that might win him the job. I don't know.
I know don't get to watch those other games. Caleb Williams had a pretty nice debut for Bears fans to dream big on. It's obviously just one preseason game. The Bears have been on Hard Knocks on HBO, only one episode so far, but there is a major spotlight on Chicago at this point. Mm-hmm. What have your thoughts been about Caleb Williams? I mean, it seems like he could be a game changer. I don't know if this year is the year, but they certainly, I'm sure, aren't thinking long-term project here. They're thinking pretty immediate returns. What have you observed of Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I mean, he was clearly the number one pick. Like, there was no debate. He's the number one pick. And so you bring someone like that in, you expect some pretty big things. And I think one of the smart things they did was they really brought a nice receiving core. Put a nice receiving core around him. You know, bringing in Keenan Allen was a great, great idea. You know, they drafted Roy Madunze. Mm-hmm. You know, they already got DJ Moore. They got Cole Kmet, a good tight end. The area where I'd be a little concerned about if I had him as my quarterback is the offensive line. I think I would rather protect him more than anything. Like, that would be my number one goal, would be to make sure he's protected and he doesn't have, you know, a David Carr, for those who remember way back when he got sacked like 46 times or 60 some times in his rookie year. You know, you don't want that. It just shatters a guy. So that's the part where we'll find out whether they've done enough for him. But you're right, he looked pretty good in the highlights I saw, and that's who he is. He's a good player. It's just, he's a really, really talented player. So you're gonna see an improvement in the Bears, I would think.
Yeah. Anything else as we get closer to wrapping this up? Anything else that jumped out from that first preseason game?
You know, there weren't any like rotation surprises that I thought. You know, it looked like everything was pretty standard. The one thing I didn't think we got to see was much of Josh Jacobs. So, you know, you got to see the first run. He got a 7-yard gain. That was great. You know, fine for him. And I was kind of joking with the linemen, you know, like three plays. Wouldn't you like to have at least had like a 15-play drive or something and see where you're at with the run game? And pretty much all of them were like, no, three plays and out. That's good. You know?
Yeah.
But I think they would. I think it would benefit them to get a little more time with Josh Jacobs and get a feel for what he's going to do. They already got a feel for Emmanuel Wilson. I mean, the kid's, is he going to lead the league in preseason rushing again? He's just an impressive guy from, you know, a small school. He's impressive. So I thought he was definitely the star of the game.
Yeah. The Packers will play at Denver, as Tom mentioned, coming up on Sunday. I think it's Sunday this week, right?
Sunday. Yep.
Yeah. So that'll be their second preseason opportunity. Again, that will be on the road. Let me throw you one last curveball that I didn't prep you for. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers, but there is a book forthcoming from Ian O'Connor, mm-hmm. who did a lengthy biography of him. ESPN dropped a small snippet about him saying that he regretted not being more forthcoming when he was told a room full of reporters, I believe yourself included, that he had been immunized when asked if he had been vaccinated against COVID-19. And he said that he should have revealed right away that he had an allergic reaction to one of the ingredients in one of the vaccines. I don't know if you just want to be done with, like I said, done with Aaron Rodgers and move on. I don't know if that story resonates with you, if you remember anything from that day that really stands out, or if you, what you know about what's coming out from this book from Ian O'Connor, if anything is jumping out at you or anything that you are curious to know a little bit more about.
As for that day, it's in my hall of shame for myself.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I knew something sounded funny and, you know, it should have occurred to me to say, what do you mean by immunized? Mm. You know, that was a drop the ball. As far as I'm concerned, as a newspaper reporter, I dropped the ball on that one. You know, as far as the book, I read some of what you sent me. And, you know, I was surprised to see that Roger sat down with him.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that, it's great. You get, you know, he gets to fact check and everything, but he's pretty persuasive. And, you know, you get around him and pretty soon, I think you lose your objectivity. It's really easy for that to happen when you're around him, because he is a persuasive guy. And, so from that standpoint, I'm not sure where it's going to go and if there's anything I'm going to really, you know, find that interesting. I did think there was a snippet in there about how he finally ran into his dad and hugged him on the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that they really got into too deeply about what's going on there. But that was the most interesting part that I read, was that, you know, he hugged him, said he loved him, and then they went their separate ways again.
Yeah.
You know, again. Like you'd continued. Okay. So I don't know what that was about. I probably won't read it. Maybe I'll read some. I'll probably open a little bit if I get a free copy. If you get a free copy, let me know.
I'll send it your way for sure. Okay. I did read it. I actually, and I'm going to put together some takeaways. I don't think there's any like shocking revelations. There's a few things, you know, maybe some extra clarity on stuff. The family stuff, there's a lot in there that it really is. It's a lot. It's kind of confusing, honestly, why he still holds this up. It's not just his parents and his brothers. It's his extended family. He just isn't talking to anybody, many of whom have no idea why they've been shut out. They didn't have any acrimonious conversation or, you know, really like tried to leech onto his fame in any way, shape or form. He just really drew a hard line. And so I don't know if it's painted very clearly why he continues to do that 9 years later. It's a really, that part was really fascinating, pretty heartbreaking, actually, I thought. But then there are some just details about his, you know, development as a quarterback who wasn't recruited. And even though he was really good, and the height thing that worked against him, and how he got to Butte, and some just tons and tons of people who knew him on the way up. So I do think there's some interesting stuff in there. And like I said, I'll wrap some of that up at PackersNews.com.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not knocking Ian Connor because he does amazing research, you know. It's just it's a difficult subject, you know, and you have to really put away all your biases and all of the influence that he can have on you, you know, when you're writing something on him. I mean, that was my challenge every time, was to, you know, sort of ferret out what the truth was and what reality was versus what he was trying to paint as the picture.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a challenge every single day. So yeah, I'll be interested to read some of it. And I'm still interested to see how they do, how the Jets do. I'll watch a little bit of them. You know, so.
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying about feeling bad about that day, feeling some guilt. But like Ryan Wood's question, our colleague, was directly, have you been vaccinated? And he said, yeah, I've been immunized. Like, that's answering the question. I don't know how anyone could feel like there had to be more, needed to be more. But I get that maybe the spidey senses were tingling a little.
You know, you think about, you know, on, you know, when you're interviewing a politician and they give you a, you know, a sideways answer and you gotta pin them down. And we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's lesson learned and water under the bridge and all that, all those cliches, you know.
Yeah. Out of the Darkness is the name of this book. It's coming out.
On to grilling or Jordan Love now and all.
Yes. Yes. About TikTok videos and whatever, whatever he's got going on.
Yeah, a little bit. I got to get him on that engagement, you know, what really happened in that engagement.
Yeah, right. Yes. Overseas. Yeah. Little bit of a different energy around this quarterback. That is for certain. He is Tom Silverstein. You can find everything he has at PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com. He, of course, will be covering the Packers throughout the preseason and into Brazil, which is September 6th, right around the corner. Thank you for joining me, Tom. We'll chat with you again very soon.
Thanks, you are.